When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Kind of a football Thursday, but tomorrow will be a football Friday too, because the Texans travel tomorrow to Kansas City. They play on Saturday. So this will be the last practice for the Texans before they hit the road. Nothing major on the injury report, you know, for the Texans. Mixon was back at practice yesterday, so that's good. Patrick Mahomes is full participant. I'm not going to say that's good or bad. I kind of want them to face Mahomes. I want the truth about this Texans.
Give me all the smoke.
I want the truth. I want to know where they stand against.
I can handle
really
the truth.
Team. I can. Especially because they've clinched the playoff spot already.
Yeah.
You know, the fact of the matter, you know, even if the truth hurts, they're still going to be playing a game, presumably at 3:30 on Saturday, January the 11th.
There is nothing in the world that will improve you more than brutal and fierce competition. And this offense needs to improve right now. So I know they're not. I know the offense isn't playing against Pat Mahomes, but it puts that much more pressure on the offense if Pat Mahomes is out there. That I want the toughest challenges possible out of the Chiefs and out of the Ravens, and so where the offense can make improvement versus, especially with this offensive line, which is I think the configuration that as of right now I feel most comfortable with rolling into the playoffs. A lot of that hinges on Blake Fisher continuing to show improvement. But, yeah, I want it. I want the best version of both these teams.
I'm with you on that. So along those lines, I think America wants the best version of both of these teams, too. Adam Schefter tweeted this a little bit earlier today, and I've been thinking about this since the start of the season. This college football playoff, man, this college football playoff just completely changes the calculus of this chunk of the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
This is usually a very dead time for college football. We are on the cusp, starting tomorrow night, of getting four elimination games in a matter of 24 hours on Friday night and then throughout the day on Saturday. And so Schefter actually tweeted out the full schedule, but he tweeted basically like, this could be one of the greatest days of football that we've ever seen. Certainly the greatest day of football so far this year.
Yeah.
Because you've got two high-level NFL games, Texans and Chiefs, Steelers and Ravens, with college football playoff action woven and sitting in the background and then giving you a night game after all the NFL stuff is over. So here's how it looks. You tell me how excited you are for each of these, Seth. 11 a.m., and you and I will be right in the middle of a pregame show, but most of America will not be. SMU out of the ACC, Atlantic Coast Conference participant.
Whatever.
SMU.
Are you reading an AI-written article, Sean?
No, it's just
They're not in that conference.
It's me acknowledging the irony. SMU, who's a fun team and a good team, at Penn State. Texas team. Going up to what I saw on the news today or on SportsCenter today, 65% chance of snow at Penn State. So a snow game between SMU and Penn State at 11 a.m.
The interesting one here, and that maybe you're not a huge college football fan, but you're looking ahead to the Texans' potential draft.
Yeah.
Tyler Warren, the tight end for Penn State.
Good player.
Very, very good. And SMU's defense does a good job of getting pressure without having to blitz and all of that. They've been really bad against tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
So if you watch the Texans this year and at times find yourself wondering, hey, where are all the tight ends at?
Sure would be nice.
Yeah, Tyler Warren might be that guy.
Okay.
Apologies to any SMU/Houston Texans fans.
I am searching right now, Tyler Warren on Prize what Picks.
Oh, okay.
His more than, less than receiving yards, 70.5.
Ooh.
I might go more than. Okay. What did you say? They're 129th in FBS defending tight ends?
Yeah.
Okay, I got one entry on Prize Picks locked in. I'm looking forward to this game just solely on the Southern team traveling to what's going to be Penn State's an incredible environment.
Yeah, it really is.
An incredible environment.
What do they call that there? I always forget that.
Happy Valley.
A Happy Valley. Death Valley, Happy Valley.
Hasn't always been that happy.
I always get the nicknames mixed up. Yeah.
Happy Valley. I've been to a game there a couple of times.
What do they call Michigan?
The Big House.
The Big House, that's right.
The Big House, yep.
Okay.
So 11 a.m., you got SMU and Penn State, so you get your college football playoff appetizer for the day. And by the way, Notre Dame, Indiana play on Friday nights in the first ever 12-team college football playoff game. But then on Saturday, SMU, Penn State, noon, Texans and Chiefs, two teams that we're very familiar with here. What do you think the nation's appetite is for Texans and Chiefs? How is that as far as marquee value goes?
Oh, I think especially on a Saturday, I think it's pretty high. I think the actual sum total effect of having these four teams, the Chiefs, the Texans, the Steelers, the Ravens, playing in one afternoon.
These are all playoff
I think
teams.
It's altered. I think it's probably altered some people's Saturday plans to where they're like, oh, no, I'm going to treat this like a Sunday. Or if anything, you know, depending on who your team is, man, I'm not even really going to be all that dialed in on Sunday. This is a good slate of football.
It is. It's a good doubleheader. So noon, you got Texans and Chiefs. 3 o'clock, Clemson at Texas in the college football playoff.
Mm.
So the big story with this one seems to be there's two stories, one on each side. The first one is Clemson is literally the they're not the last team in because they won the ACC, but they're the lowest seeded out of all the teams. Yeah. They're viewed by the committee as the worst of all these teams. I think they're viewed by a lot of college football fans as a little lucky to be in this thing. They beat SMU in the ACC championship game. The big story with Texas is how long of a leash does Quinn Ewers have in this game?
Mm.
Their starting quarterback. They love Arch Manning in Austin, the 40 acres, as they call it. So do we see, I mean, we'll see some Arch Manning because they mix him in some packages and stuff like that. But how long of a leash? That's the thing I've been seeing Seth up on the TV. How long of a leash does Quinn Ewers have in this playoff game?
Boy, and especially when it comes to...
Could the Boo Birds come
as
out?
As much as people want their players to be committed to playing in the bowl game and all of that, you know, there's pressure on coaches, too, to not treat this like a preseason game for next season. I think that Ewers is fine as long as they have a lead.
Yeah.
But then after that, probably not so much.
It's interesting. We've not seen any. I thought we might see opt-outs from playoff teams.
Yeah.
Possibly. We haven't seen any, though. So good, good on these young kids for hanging around.
I wonder if maybe they're starting, maybe if some of the agents are starting to see some kind of a trend towards, okay, teams really do look at this. Like with, I know that was one of the things they loved about Will Anderson. I think that's one of the things they loved about Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you've got at least evidence with one NFL team where I think they really liked the fact that, okay, we're hearing all these good things about these kids and everything, but all right, but they're sitting out of the bowl game. They're kind of going into the business for themselves. I think there are a lot of teams, and maybe it's more of the better teams that feel like, no, we want guys that are just football junkies and are going to play and are committed to their teammates.
Yeah, opting out of a playoff game would be a tough look.
Playoffs, yeah, you're right. Yeah, way different than a bowl game.
Playoff game would be a tough look. What we have seen, and we saw it with Penn State with their backup quarterback, whose name escapes me, but this the schedule with college football, they've got to get into the transfer portal now, and there's teams like Penn State, like, this is our backup quarterback, he's got to get into the transfer portal, they're comparing it to like having free agency start
before the season,
week 16. Yeah.
Or maybe like your assistant coach is interviewing for head coaching jobs
before the season,
you're smack dab in the middle of the playoffs.
Yep. So that's 3 o'clock, Clemson and Texas. 3:30, Steelers and Ravens, which is certainly in the argument for best rivalry. Most collegiate rivalry, I would say. Collegial rivalry. Well,
college. Because both those teams draft football junkie, like old school types. Guys that are not modern NFL athletes in terms of, oh, I want to love everybody. Oh, let's just hug each other. Can I have your jersey if I give you mine?
Oh,
they got no business. They got no room for that. They hate each other.
Yes.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Hatred for your opponent.
No jersey swaps in this
series. I had a grumpy old man conversation with Baselli about that before the Jags game this year.
About the jersey swaps?
Yeah. Just about the whole, and Tony's a very devout Christian and everything. But on the football side of things, he's like, these guys don't hate each other the way they do. Like,
it's true.
You got to football hate your opponent. What is all this?
Agent, shoe contract, team that you're on.
Yeah.
That's a hierarchy for a lot of guys.
Family beneath that.
Family beneath that is a hierarchy for a lot of guys.
Okay, so I had to fact check myself on this just to be sure I got it right. By the way, it's 160 minutes of walking a day, not 260.
Okay, gotcha.
I was wrong on that.
Gotcha.
But it was just still a lot. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes of walking. It's a lot of walking.
Yeah.
They've won six straight games. The Steelers have won six straight games.
Yeah, Lamar's record against Pittsburgh.
As underdogs.
And and Lamar's overall record against Pittsburgh is awful. I think he's only beat them once.
Yeah, they got a little bit of a thing with the Steelers. And, the last game was, how many field goals were in that game? Six field goals.
Boswell
kicked six field goals. The Steelers won 18-16. And Tucker, the Hall of Fame caliber for kicker for the Ravens, is all of a sudden a horrible kicker.
He missed two in that game.
And the weather is projected to be gusts over 44 miles per hour.
Oh,
sustained
wow.
Winds of more than 15 miles per
hour. Okay, well, that ain't kicker friendly, I'll
say
that.
So if it turns into that same type of game, the Steelers have a big advantage.
So if the Steelers win, the Steelers are 10-4, the Ravens are 9-5. So this would clinch the division, right? Because if the Steelers win, they would have a two-game lead with the head-to-head.
Yeah.
With two games to go in the season.
Mm-hmm. That would it wouldn't cement the Ravens as the wild card opponent.
For the Texans.
Yeah. It would still be one of three teams. But
yeah.
Good chance that you face the Ravens.
Good chance, yep. The highest chance for sure. The last game of the evening, Ryan Day coaching for his job possibly at Ohio State, which is crazy to think because they've had a ton of success. Tennessee at Ohio State. I'm glad that one's late. I won't be able to watch the other two just because, we'll be doing Texan stuff while those things are going on. But Tennessee at Ohio State in another cold weather game for a Southern-ish team. Knoxville isn't exactly Tuscaloosa or anything, but it ain't Columbus either.
I wonder if who's the favorite to be the Ohio State coach if it's not Ryan Day? Are there odds on that? Is it Vrabel?
Okay, you tell me. Dan Orlovsky was on the Pat McAfee show and was asked about the future of Mike Vrabel. And he started to do one of those things where guys act like they know something, but they're not allowed to say it on the air.
He turned into a dirty little tease.
Yeah. And I think Orlovsky even mentions here, when you hear the audio, that he's gotten in trouble trying to break news before.
Oh, yeah.
So here was Dan Orlovsky, though. He and McAfee are having a conversation about Mike Vrabel, and this is what he had to say.
I just think that Vrabel's probably got a very clear sight and path with where he is going to be likely coaching.
Where?
College or pro?
Say it.
He's saying Ohio State.
He'll be coaching football.
Pro or college?
I just...
So we wouldn't have thought college.
I'm not a
right?
reporter.
The answer is, so
I'm
it's
not
college.
A reporter.
O-H. Is that what you're saying?
I think that there's a vision for where he kind of likely ends up coaching next year.
Okay, Dan.
I'm not a reporter.
Dan, no.
Dan, not a reporter.
You're acting like
one. I've come on your show before and I said I've heard something and it got me in a lot of trouble, so I'm trying not to do that.
Yeah, just don't delete any tweets.
Okay, so the aftermath of that, the outcome from that quote from Orlovsky, was a lot of people assuming he meant Ohio State there.
Yeah.
I think Vrabel would be a great hire at Ohio State.
Ohio State fans seem to be resoundingly in favor of Vrabel returning to Ohio State, his alma mater.
Mm-hmm.
It would make a lot of sense. I think he'd be a great coach, too.
I do, too.
Now he's kind of old school. So I wonder if Vrabel, looking at the college landscape, might have some hesitation about going into that environment because there's a lot of moving parts. Like, it's hard enough to make that. And he's been a college coach before. It's not, at Ohio State.
Position coach.
So it's not like he's unaware of how to coach college. It's just that this is a completely different version of it.
Oh, yeah.
And also, he's got that he's got that ability to be kind of like Dan Campbell. I think that, you know, he can be real. He can coach guys real tough, but they still seem to like him for it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. He's not as positively oriented as Campbell. I think no. Vrabel's got it. Vrabel's kind of Vrabel's like a more entertaining Belichick. He's got an old grouch in him, but because he's funny when he does it, it's a little bit. It softens it a little bit. But he's got more personality.
More personality. He's a former player too, so he's got that kind of vibe about him. I just remember Vrabel coaching the linebackers in West Virginia.
Oh, he's just constantly screaming all the time.
Killing Jadeveon Clowney.
That's right. And he got, as a linebacker's coach, I thought he did. I thought he got some really good play out of his linebackers.
He got great play out of Clowney. Yeah. It worked.
And he got great play out of the Titans until everything fell apart.
Until it all fell apart at the end there, yeah. So Vrabel would be a great hire at Ohio State.
Nobody, if there's another worldwide pandemic, there's nobody better than Vrabel to have.
He was great that season.
I would put that in my dossier.
Yeah.
Remember they shuffled the offensive line around like almost every single game. They had a different offensive line
playing. I just remember the Titans being the team that seemed to be playing on the strangest days of the week.
Yeah.
Because COVID would hit like on Saturday and they're like, well, game postponed to Tuesday. That was the fun part about the COVID season is it felt like there were games every day.
Bonus days of football.
Well, a game Tuesday at 4.
Yeah.
There were Monday night doubleheaders that didn't overlap with each other. That was a lot of fun. Not that I'm begging for another pandemic, but that was a silver lining in the whole thing. More football. Dan Orlovsky, I don't know where I'm at with the passive reporting of things. Like it feels a little like an empty flex. Like, I know things, but I'm not allowed to say them on your show.
And did he even say, he didn't really say, did he say he knew where Vrabel wanted to go or where, like, he was likely to go?
He's like,
or,
I think there's a path, and it was, if you watch it, you can clearly tell Orlovsky is holding something back.
That feels like a Schefter report, where you're reporting a possibility.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Sources say there's an expectation of a probability that there might be a path of Vrabel to Ohio State. Don't say. Thanks for that.
Could be.
One of our listeners says Dan needs to shut up. He has no bleeping clue. Vrabel is not going to college. He's the top NFL coaching candidate.
He's a top NFL coaching candidate. I don't know if he's the top. There's a big debate going on in Chicago right now as to whether he would be right for the Bears or not, just because do you want to hire another defensive-minded head coach?
Yeah, right. Now Vrabel's got experience being a defensive-minded head coach. And now, you know, one of our, somebody brought this up the other day. Oh, it was when I was on that chat, on Corey Barrett's chat, was that, you know, D'Amico, having only been in the coaching profession for very little time, he doesn't necessarily have a Rolodex full of names and associations of people that he's coached with or that he's keeping an eye on and everything. So when it comes to hiring offensive line coaches or what have you, you know, there were probably some hires that he made his rookie year when everything has to be done immediately that he might start rectifying as he's got his eye on somebody else or what have you. Vrabel does have that when it comes to selecting an offensive coach. He's going to have... whichever interviews he does, he's going to have a plan for that.
Yep.
Now, the other thing is... go ahead.
Yeah. We got to get out. All right. Payne and Pendergast.
So many Vrabel thoughts.
I know. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Titus at left guard. How does he think he did? How do we think this looks going through the rest of the season? We'll hear from Titus Howard coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, the Texans offensive line, huge topic all season long, and it'll be a big topic.
Lazy narrative.
I think that's worked itself out. I think we know there's issues.
I know
what you're referring to. Titus Howard, this permutation of offensive line, Titus Howard at left guard, and I can't believe that we're saying this on the heels of how Titus played at left guard last season, but that's kind of indicative of where they're at with left guard this season.
Right. Yeah, it's not the ideal scenario. And I'm a little bit more optimistic about Titus Howard at guard this time around.
Yeah.
I saw some good things in the game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the reason the Texans couldn't run the ball, it wasn't because of Titus Howard. Right. I thought there were some things in the run blocking that were improvements over either Juice Scruggs or Kenyon Green or Kendrick Green. And if he can, as long as he's genuinely embracing the role this time, I've put a higher ceiling on his play at guard than I would have previously.
Yeah, could this be a long-term solution? We'll see. I mean, it's one game this season.
Especially if Blake
so far.
Fisher balls out.
That's right.
He doesn't even need to ball out. He just needs to look adequate.
Yeah, be solid.
And he was adequate for three quarters. He had a few rough snaps in the fourth quarter, but I was largely very happy with the way Blake Fisher played.
I was, too. For a first start for a rookie...
Second start, but yeah.
Did he? Has he started another game this year?
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay. Titus Howard, how do you feel you did at guard on Sunday?
Just trying to do what I can do so we can win. Got a couple guys down now, got guys down. We had Blake who can come in at tackle, so I was open to moving, you know, so to help the team so we can get some more wins, clinch the division. Just trying to do what I can do to help win. I feel like last week was pretty solid, I'm not going to lie. Pretty good game. A couple plays, you know, here and there, you know, just got to get back used to being inside, but I feel like it was a good game.
And you said the same thing, Seth. You said you watched Titus in the run game.
Yeah,
and despite the team only getting 23 yards on 12 carries out of Joe Mixon, you thought Titus looked pretty good.
Yeah, and he had some missed blocks, but they weren't ones that were, they didn't cause the run to fail on most of his missed blocks. But he also had some really good moments where when it comes to forming a wall with either the center when you're working with him or the tackle when you're working with him, knowing when to pass off the player to work up to a linebacker, all that stuff, it just looked more competent. The timing, the footwork, all of that was just better than we've seen out of the other guys. And that was with his first time at guard this season. And it's a lot different. When you move down there, everything's a lot faster. The reads are quicker. You got to process more quickly. You don't have as much space to work with. So it's an adjustment. But I think that the arrow could point up over the next several games as to just what kind of play you get out of them.
Yeah. Was Blake Fisher's other start over at left tackle? Did Laramie miss a game?
It was when Tunsil was injured.
When Tunsil was injured. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
And he came in and it wasn't good. It wasn't great.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So Titus, so we'll see. Along those lines with the offensive line, Juice Scruggs' injury is not a season-ending injury. It's a foot injury that's going to keep him out, presumably again this week. He's not practiced this week. When Juice Scruggs is healthy, Do you think there's a spot for him on the offensive line? And not I'm not saying at left guard. Do you think he goes back in at center?
I think he's Nick himself said he's more of a center than a guard. And I could see Patterson being either. And I know, I think John Harris and I disagree on this. And I got to ask John about it. I've never had a conversation with him about it. He thinks Patterson is more naturally a center as well. The thing that concerns me is there are things that you want a center to do in this scheme that I don't know if either of those guys have that same Chris Myers level of athleticism to do. There was a play last week where the center's supposed to reach block a two technique, a guy who's head up on the guard. And it's a tough block, but a really good center should be able to do it, and Patterson just couldn't get there. You know, it was one snap I'm looking at, but I think there's moments like that where, okay, is this youth, or is it that you're not athletic enough to be what they want in this scheme? I don't know, but I think that should still be, that should be a wide-open competition.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, the fact that they just, you know, a couple of our listeners were upset about this during training camp, and I've admitted I was wrong on this. They were upset that they were just handing the position to Juice Scruggs, and it didn't look like they were letting Patterson compete for the starting center job at all. Yeah, I would agree with those guys now. I think that they should have making Kenyon and Juice like the day one, oh, yep, these are our guys. I feel like there's a little bit of hubris in that, in your personnel evaluation.
Well, and that's where my question comes from. Yeah. Like, even if this O-line plays well, say, this, and I think if Juice misses this game, chances are he misses a game that's four days later. Let's say this offensive line plays well against the Chiefs and the Ravens, and then Juice Scruggs is healthy all of a sudden. Do you think he's like, do you think that happens?
I know,
he goes
Patterson,
right back in at center.
I think they like, the reason Juice Scruggs went to guard where either Patterson or Scruggs could have played guard was that I think that Patterson's done a better job with the calls.
Yeah.
There haven't been the miscommunications, the egregious stuff, like when Laramie and Ogunbowale were both trying to block a linebacker, an off-ball linebacker, while the actual edge rusher ran free.
Yeah.
A lot of that, because that happened in the Green Bay game to both Titus and Laramie. That's not the kind of stuff that veteran offensive tackles screw up. That to me is usually there was some kind of a miscommunication, and that went away when Patterson started playing center. So I think they stay with Patterson at center.
Yeah,
I think that, and as long as Blake Fisher plays well, I think that they keep Titus Howard at guard.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is if whatever they have out there is working, don't change it. As long as the five guys are healthy,
yeah,
don't change it. If it's starting to work, you've had a hard time finding a combination that works. I'm not sure if you've noticed, Texans. Text message. Are teams viewing the Texans as a super physical team these days? Are we headed towards a reputation for aggressive, physical, defensive play? I hope so. I think we're there. I think we're there with the Texans. The reputation that they've got for physical, aggressive play.
Yeah,
I think the Aziz stuff kind of pushed it over the top.
No, the Aziz stuff pushed it over the top. And then, you know what's been weird this week is I haven't seen any conversation about Kalen Bullock's hit.
I haven't either.
That was flagged. I'm guessing he'll get fined on Saturday. It's probably going to be $9,000 or whatever the first offense is.
Yeah.
But there's been zero discussion about it. And I kind of was bracing myself for an onslaught of are the Texans a dirty team, this,
right,
that, the other. I think that was obvious enough to the naked eye that, all right, this is a bang-bang play where the player was going down, and it's not like Kalen Bullock didn't, like, alter his trajectory or look like he was targeting the helmet to helmet.
No.
So I think that was just the run of the mill. Okay, it's illegal in this day and game, but people didn't look at it as a dirty hit. And if anything, I think Tua might have gotten more flack for that than anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just for leading him into danger.
Tua for sure got flack. I think, probably another difference too, Seth, is that between the reaction to that and the reaction, to Aziz Alshire is Kalen Bullock has been in the league for 15 games. Mm-hmm. You know, Aziz Alshire has had six seasons to build a reputation. Kalen Bullock doesn't have a reputation as a headhunter.
Yeah.
He's got a reputation as a center fielder, a ball hawk.
Right.
But not a head hawk.
He could end up getting a reputation maybe like Ed Reed. Ed Reed had quite a few illegal hits back in the day.
Yeah.
But largely it was, okay, this is... I think also, for one, Aziz Alshire involved a quarterback who was sliding, who was supposedly trying to give himself up, but he was trying to have his cake and eat it.
Trying to get a first down.
He's trying to get a first down,
yeah,
but also stay safe. But it was a quarterback. And also it was You know, there was like the immediate uproar from Moose Johnston and all of that that I think maybe fueled into it.
Yeah.
So there's something about
there's a code between players.
But the reputation for the Texans is a team that hits really hard. I think that's cemented. I think that this defense is playing the way that the 49ers defense played when D'Amico was there.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too. When they start connecting the dots, I think you'll start to hear more of that in the playoffs. Is like, wow, you know, the 49ers defense just hasn't been the same since D'Amico left. And now look at the way the Texans defense is playing down the stretch and hopefully on into the playoffs. This super hard-hitting, opportunistic defense.
Yeah. It's fun, man.
Like the Buffalo game was when Blake Fisher started it, right?
Okay, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Thursday here. Football Friday tomorrow and actual football on Saturday here on Sports Radio 610. Texans and the Chiefs. Noon kickoff, 9 a.m. Texans countdown. So the Texans with this reputation as a hard-hitting physical football team. I think D'Amico Ryans would accept that. What about a coach in the division whose team has been called soft? How does a head coach react to his team being called soft? A future Texans opponent. We'll let you hear coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so we just got done answering a text somebody had about the Texans in the previous segment. The text was, big thanks to 5689 for listening to the show. Our team's viewing the Texans as a super physical team these days. Are we headed towards a reputation for aggressive physical defensive play? I hope so. I think I think not only headed there, I think we're there. I think they've got that reputation for being a hard-hitting defensive team. Swarm is not some empty acronym on the wall like DTS used to be.
Yeah.
Dependable, tough, and smart, or STD.
It was smart, tough, dependable. Yeah. I pointed out that acronym is STD.
Yeah.
And then somebody was taking notes because they changed it from STD to something else.
DTS.
The Giants, meanwhile, one of the big issues with their organization right now is that they also lifted that slogan, smart, tough, dependable.
Yeah.
And it's right up. I think they have the STD variation of it up on their office wall. I saw on Hard Knocks this summer.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, Giants.
The place is raging. They don't have enough STD, that's for sure. No, it's one of the problems with that organization.
They do not. So that's the Texans at one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum be teams that are considered soft, right? And apparently there's a lot of talk about the Titans being soft in Tennessee, at least enough to where it was brought up as a topic yesterday at Brian Callahan, the head coach of the Titans, at his press conference, went on a rant yesterday about people thinking his team is soft.
I mean, you really want to get me going today? I think, to be honest with you, I think that's complete and total bullshit. If you want my honest opinion, these guys are tough f***ers, man. They go after it every day. They play hard as hell. And there's at no point have we ever put on tape at any point this season that this is a soft football team. Like I can't even wrap my mind around how that would even be a conversation. I mean, just because we don't win games doesn't mean we're soft. These guys play their ass off. They play hard. They play physical. You can ask any team that plays against us that when they come off the field, they know they played us. Yeah, that makes me relatively angry that would be some presumption. That means you just don't watch the shit, you know. You don't do anything about it that you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're looking at. So I'm not going to stand for anybody calling this football team soft. I think that's bullshit. So if there's opinions out there that feel that way, then, you know, they don't know anything about NFL football. So I'd like you to walk in there and call one of these guys soft and see what happens. You know, this is not a soft football team at all, mentally or physically. You can kind of shove that one right up your ass, to be honest. So.
Okay.
I wish these coaches would just, you know, make a stand every now and then.
all cursing more and
not
more.
Not a soft response. I think the thing about the Titans is there's some similarity to the Texans in that I would never call their defense soft, the Titans' defense soft, ever.
I don't think we're allowed to.
Right. Exactly.
By virtue of losing to them.
But their offense, I don't know. I'll listen to arguments. I'll listen to what your evidence is because the proof is in the pudding. The Titans' defense goes out and they're a tough defense. Going into that game, I expected the Texans to win, but I knew that the Titans presented some real challenges for exactly what the Texans have struggled with. You might say the softer elements of the Texans' offense versus Titans' run defense that had some really physical defensive linemen that played good defense in general, had a tough pass team. Yeah, that Titans' defense is not soft. I'm not so sure about the offense. Likewise, the Texans, if somebody came up, I'll fight you in the streets if you say the Texans' defense is soft. If you tell me the Texans' offense is soft, I'm going to, you know, ask if you want to chat about it over a coffee, you know? And we'll go and
I'm going to do something soft.
Yeah, yeah.
Like chat black over coffee. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, no sweeteners. No sweeteners.
I haven't had a sweetener in my coffee since 1993.
You're not soft.
Damn it.
Yeah. Nobody's ever said you were soft.
I do, though. I don't like any kind of flavored coffee drink anymore.
Really?
It tastes, yeah, I
you
like.
Go straight black coffee,
I like black coffee.
You do?
I need to feel the bitter.
Oh.
I need to taste the bitter, Sean.
As you could probably predict, I am all about the cream and the stevia.
You're baking a cake when you're
kidding
like,
me? I got an apron on. I'm sipping
have some coffee with those sugar packets, Sean.
Yes.
You're one of those.
Yeah, baking a cake. Yes, that's me with the coffee, man.
Wait, a little quick story. I remember I was having, I was at my high school girlfriend's best friend. We were at her cottage. They had a cottage. It's a nice best friend to have.
Oh, yeah.
But her mom, I could tell, her mom was very flirtatious. And I think she kind of, this is when I was actually, I think, a freshman in college. And, you know, back before I got fat. And she, I think I had like a Mrs. Robinson scenario going on because she would like cook for me. I wake up early in the morning and everything. She'd cook for me and she would marvel at how many eggs I would eat. She's like, you know, Melissa's last boyfriend.
Dude.
I made an omelet for, I was going to make eggs for him. And I asked him if he wanted eggs. And he said, I would love an egg. And like, that was the least manly thing she's ever heard.
That is horribly unmanly.
And meanwhile, I'm like, more bacon,
yeah,
wench.
Yeah.
And she's like, yes, this is what I want.
Where's the second dozen
Throw
eggs?
Me up against the wall like I'm in a like a cover of a romance novel.
Okay, so was she married at the time?
Oh, yeah.
She was?
Hell of a guy. That's what kept me from acting on it. And my,
so you knew,
and my girlfriend.
So you could sense what was going on. See, even at that age, like freshman in college, something like that could have been going on with me.
Dude.
And I'd have been like, oh,
no,
sure is nice
no,
to me.
No, it was, at the time, I was like, I think, is this real? Like, isn't this something that only happens in the movies?
Yeah.
So I didn't trust it. Reflecting on it later, I was like, oh, totally, that was going on. The same thing happened when I was working for my uncle, who's a contractor, carpenter. So I was his assistant for one summer. And again, this is back when, you know, before I went the full fat defensive tackle route, I was a strapping young dude and everything.
Sure.
I'd be out there working with my shirt off and everything. And there were at least two scenarios where I totally could have walked myself into a plot line of a bow chicka bow bow. But I was just too dumb and naive to believe that it was really true. I thought they were just nice ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it was like, no, this woman's bringing me lemonade every half hour, you know, and just... This is a quote I'll never forget. The woman was sitting down. She brought me some lemonade yet again. And I'm sitting, and my uncle was gone. He trusted me to do the work. I was doing drywall work and everything. And she's like, I was on the phone with one of my girlfriends. And I just was like, I don't know what to do. I've got this young man who's out there with his shirt off.
How old were you at the time?
I was like 19 or 20.
Yeah.
And I just was too...
I would have been just as dumb.
I was too nice. I was just too nice and naive.
Did you sip the lemonade at all? Could you taste any alcohol in there?
I did, and then I rubbed it on my neck.
You did?
And I was kind of like, yeah.
The glass. I was just wondering if maybe she tried to get you a little tipsy.
I should have been like, oh, I wish I had a towel to wipe the sweat off my abdomen.
You were smart, you would have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not smart, but smart to what was going on.
I've got any number of, and I'm pretty critical of myself. Like, every married guy will tell you about the times he could have scored and all this.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of times early in my life where I was like, man, wow, I was too dumb, young, and naive
like...
It was one of my brother. I was a freshman in high school, and my brother was a senior. And I remember, but this is when he was in college. He had a party at our house while my mom was gone. And I remember one of my brother's friends, like, she was like, Seth, let's go talk. And this was like the girl that was like the hottest girl in the school. But she was 3 years older than me. And I just looked at her like on a different level. And I'm out on the back patio at a party where she pulled me back to talk because she wanted to chat with me. Just like a young, dumb idiot.
All you did was talk.
Yeah. Because I was like, I held her up above what I was capable of pulling off.
Yeah. brought up some documentaries he just watched. How about the Menendez brothers?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, there was a girl I dated on again, off again, like in high school. And then like even like once, like through college, like during summers and stuff like that. And she had a mom, single mom, who's attractive. And there were a couple times like her mom needed like a jump start for her car, or hey Sean, she would call like, hey, I need help with something in the garage, you know, like lifting something heavy. So I go over there and do it. By the third time, my mom was like, she needs a man. I'm like, what do you mean?
What are you talking about,
what
Mom?
What are you talking about, Mom?
What do you mean?
Yeah. She's like, she needs a man.
The one good thing, about it, though, is part of it was because I'd been, you know, as an athlete, you're just presented with, you know, seminar after seminar about consent and, treating women the right way and everything.
Yeah.
So I was always hyper paranoid about like I don't want to be that guy.
Oh, yeah.
I've been like three times every year I'm getting it, you know, driven into my head about just being really careful about stuff like that. So there were a lot of times where like I was totally a sucker for whenever. Like, if I had a girlfriend, but maybe a young woman had shown interest.
Sure.
And she was friends with my girlfriend, hypothetically. She might be like, you
really
know.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically, maybe we're kissing a little bit. And then she's like, but what about Kathy? And I'd be like, yep, okay, bye.
Good job, Seth.
The slightest hint of any kind of objection, I was like, I'm out the door.
Yeah.
I'm like, yep, I get it. See ya. Yeah. You don't have to say it twice to me.
text message. I would have bounced all over that woman.
I know. Yeah. I know. You know what, though? I'm glad I was too timid because who knows how many kids I'd have right now.
Well, who knows? Nowadays, you think about everything. If it were now.
Yeah.
Think about everything from the age of like puberty through the age that you were encountering this older woman that you would have had access to that would have created these different fantasies and things like that. Like there's like, it's so much more accessible nowadays for young kids to, and I'm almost not saying it's a good thing, but
no,
like,
it's actually a really bad thing.
Yeah. It's a horrible thing.
Yeah. Kids, the stuff that goes in the movies that you watch
does
online,
not happen
that's not real life.
And don't force
it. Don't assume that's what the women like at all.
Right.
At all. Not even one little bit should you ever assume that, ever.
So you might have tried something. Had you spent all that time on the internet from age 12 to 19.
And yet the statistics would suggest that less of it's going on. Like, kids are less sexually active than they used to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Mostly because they're just their...
But you'd have been a strapping beast. That wouldn't have stopped. Video games would not have stopped you.
The other advice. Listen, if the woman you're working for is bringing you lemonade every half hour...
Yeah.
She's interested in maybe a little bit more than a work relationship. There's a chance that she's more interested
in something
in
the lemonade as well. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah, my uncle was pissed. He kept coming home with me sleeping on the job with nothing happening. Why are your pants on backwards? None of this drywall is finished, you lazy bum. I'm like, I swear I don't remember.
But I got a date on Thursday. Yeah. All right, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. John Lopez. Reginald Atatula, they are here. They are in the house. What's up, fellas?
Nothing. I love this conversation.
Yeah.
I love the best text ever. I would have bounced all over that woman.
Yeah. Seth was telling stories of a possible Mrs. Robinson situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That he found himself in.
It was almost a definite Mrs. Robinson situation. I just didn't.
Had you seen The Graduate at that point, the movie?
I knew the song and what the song was about.
Simon and Garfunkel?
Yeah. That song was for that movie.
It was. Goo-goo-ga-joo, Mrs. Robinson. Yeah.
You ever find cuckoo ka-choo?
Whatever. It's a.
Sounded like you said something anti-Semitic.
You know, a Jew.
You're gonna do what to a Jew? What the hell?
A Jew,
Sean.
JOOB.
Well, they're really cuckoo.
Check the
page. All right, I want to take 10 steps back from that one. I want to make sure.
I thought I was doing the onomatopoeia from the Mrs. Robinson song.
Yeah.
We were talking about finding yourself in situations when you're young and innocent and you don't even realize what's going on because especially back before we had the internet, a lot of these, like, it seemed like, oh, this is what adults do, not what I do. This can't be a real situation.
Correct.
You don't realize, when you're young, you don't realize really what bastards people are.
That's right.
And how quickly so many of them will cheat on a spouse or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, I think I have largely been in your mind state. Not your situation. I was not the same young strapping man that you were.
Yeah.
But I have been in your mind state where you're like, nah, this isn't, like, you're making things
this
up.
Doesn't this happen is, in real life, nah, right?
Yeah. Thing.
The year was 1979.
Okay.
I knew it.
Lopez was on a scroll of his conquest.
It's etched in my mind.
AIDS hadn't been invented.
Eternity. The year was 1979, and I had a journalism teacher. I've been doing journalism since middle school, but anyway, a journalism teacher that I was working on the yearbook, and she used to take me to get a strawberry shake after we put the pages to bed, so to speak, after school, and then drive me home.
Really?
And I was too dumb to.
Oh, man.
Giving her their old milkshake.
Giving her the old strawberry milkshake.
Why does this keep happening?
Did you give her the old strawberry milkshake?
Did you get that big old thick milkshake straw? It's only made for milkshakes.
Bringing all the boys to the yard.
Yeah. Hey,
God bless Miss Foley. Oh, wait a minute.
You're not supposed to reveal your sources, Lopez.
What?
She actually had
is
me.
Is she still with us?
Yes. Okay.
How's she look?
She's a Facebook friend of mine.
Just in case he wants to circle back.
She's a Facebook friend.
She is. Least surprising thing ever.
She used to ask me to call her by her first name.
I'm sure she did.
Oh.
Amongst other things.
Like on those rides home from journalism thing?
Oh, I'm not going to say her first name because she's easy to find now.
You've given half.
I'll come up with another.
Oh, they'll find you. You've given enough detail.
Call me Carol, John.
Yeah,
I don't know how much.
You're going to have to unfriend her because now people are going straight to your friends.
They're already
your friends with.
This is the most uncomfortable. You know, Brandy and I have one argument every 5 years.
Right.
This was an interesting one. Brandy and I have to revisit because there was a story out last week about a professional athlete. I don't know how legitimate the reporting on it ever was, but professional athlete that a lot of people know that was supposedly getting women were paying him to have relations.
A lot of us here know him.
Out in LA. And we never talked about it on air, but I brought it up to Brandy and she was like, yeah, I could see that. I was like,
wait a minute.
Okay.
And you have a joint bank account, right? Is that just checking for reasons.
That's funny. Did she think that she could see that just based on
she could understand women like wanting to get attention from somebody like that or whatever. Yeah. She wasn't saying like she's got a plan for it or anything. But,
that feels like more of a spontaneity type thing.
She's still like, I could understand it.
Yeah.
She can understand almost all human behavior because she was a counselor for at-risk youth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so she's got to be able to try to empathize with people.
Okay.
That was her excuse, at least.
Sorry, guys. The stories are rolling in on the text page.
Oh, that's the first segment now.
Teacher that used to try to get me to go to McDonald's with her in the morning.
I guess it makes sense that would happen because how many times have we seen the stories where somebody's getting fired because of, the relations with the kiddos, unfortunately.
All right, fellas.
Human's gonna human.
That's on that note.
Yeah, the baton is yours.
Antibodies.
I feel like we're dropping these every time.
I know. I heard you right after we got done yesterday. Reggie's like, thanks for the toss, fellas.
Antibodies, and I wish I could watch Sean on Facebook this afternoon. Reaching out to old teacher.
The old strawberry milkshake.
Antibodies is...